Hello and welcome back to Supernatural, where we're on a quest to make the extraordinary ordinary and unlock the greatness that lives in every human being. Thanks for joining us. Today we're talking about love, relationships, and what we're not taught about the reason we attract certain people, why we play out the same predictable patterns, what our relationships are actually trying to teach us about love, and the magic we can start to experience in our lives when we embrace this. My guest today is Carolyn Garfield. Carolyn is a divorce recovery coach, founder of the Magnetic AF Method, and owner of Yoga 6 West Boca in Florida. With a certification as a Mastery Method Life Coach, training as a Reiki practitioner, and a master's in counseling education, Carolyn helps people stop repeating painful relationship patterns by strengthening self-worth, emotional awareness, and authentic confidence so they attract love that lasts. Welcome, Carolyn. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Chad. I'm really excited to talk about this.
I am as well. This is going to be a great conversation. So this is something that's universal to all humans, is this desire for love and connection. It's one of the core drivers for everything that we do, but relationships can oftentimes be one of the most challenging aspects of our lives, I would say. And you look around today and there's sort of this epidemic of unhealthy and dysfunctional relationships, people who are chronically unhappy in their relationship, people repeating the same unhealthy and toxic dynamics, marriages that are possessive and transactional rather than being built around true connection and intimacy. And even younger people, I think studies are saying in general, are dating less than previous generations, due in part, largely, I think, to this sort of idealistic Disney romanticized version of love where people are waiting for Mr. or Mrs. Perfect to sweep them off their feet and carry them into the sunset. So we've got a lot to set straight in this conversation. And unfortunately, this learning generally comes through pain and breakdown. And it seems that this is kind of what happened to you. So you really got your master's in this from the school of life. So tell us a bit about your story and how you came to this awareness. What was the light bulb moment for you?
Yeah, I'd say my story started when I opened my nightstand drawer. So I was already married for about 20 years at that point. And there she was. It was like College Carolyn. I found my old journals and I recognized this person that I was, but didn't know where she went. I couldn't remember anymore. So there I was sitting on my bedroom floor. I had my journal pages spread around me and I literally was crying for that girl that I had erased. It's not blaming anybody else. I did it. At that point, my life looked perfect. It had a beautiful home. I had healthy kids, nice vacations, the whole thing, country club lifestyle. But I was disappearing. Like I was walking on eggshells in my own house. Recognize now that my nervous system was stuck in this constant state of alert. I didn't know it then because everything looked so good. My marriage, it required me to be this specific version. And I performed. I was great at acting. I molded myself to fit what he wanted. Because if I kept the peace, that meant I was safe. And that was my core wound. So when he thought, for example, my interest in spirituality was stupid, I just shut that door completely. Or when he drank incessantly and like even to the point that, you know, he would get very angry and it would scare me, never apologizing for it. I'd wake up thinking he's going to apologize this time. Never happened. But I just accepted that was my life at that point. And this is might be a little too much information, but I'm going to say it anyway because it was really a light bulb moment, or it started me on the path. I got an STD and I was faithful. And it was like the last summer we were together. And he convinced me. I think back at it now. I'm like, I can't even believe. But he convinced me. I was so gaslit. You know, he convinced me that I got it from a towel. And I was so conditioned to doubt myself at that point that I actually went to the doctor and I asked if it was possible. He was like, no, Carolyn, it's called an STD for a reason. Like, there's no way for you to get it from a toilet seat or a towel. Like, I really believe that. But even then, I still didn't see it, and I stayed. I was too afraid to leave. I chose him for safety, and I couldn't see that I was getting anything but, you know. I didn't know I was that I wasn't happy. I just knew I longed for something else, but I didn't know how to name it. And I remember thinking, I need clarity, I need clarity, but I didn't even know what I wanted clarity on. I was very lost. But at the same time, and this was like a light bulb moment for me, my dad was struggling with dementia. And it was a type of dementia that is like he just kind of revealed things that probably never should have been revealed. He had no filter at that point. And so he told my mom a lot of different things that probably never should have been revealed. So it was, my mother was devastated after 50 years of marriage. I just watched her like in this just heartbreak and grappling with these revelations about the man she loved so deeply. And something shifted because I realized if my husband did that to me, which at that time I was like, I didn't realize it was really happening, but I wouldn't even be devastated. And I'm like, why wouldn't I be devastated? Why don't I care? And like that realization was like in the back of my head. It was like subtle and I couldn't ignore it. Like I didn't love him the way my mom loved my dad. Maybe I never had. And then I found those journals. And it was like this gnawing that I had became louder and louder and I couldn't ignore it anymore. Like, where was this girl? Like, who was she? Why did I allow her to disappear? So it finally all came to a head, fell apart. I asked for the divorce. I felt liberated, scared, but liberated. And probably about a month after we got separated, we all still lived in the same house, a friend had mentioned to me that she had just had a reading with a psychic. And something in me shifted. I've always been very intrigued by that, even as a child, but I buried it, like buried that curiosity because everything else, you know, it didn't fit that mold. So I just pushed it aside, never did anything about it, but I could now because I was free. So I booked a reading and then another and then another, and I started going to psychic fairs. And it wasn't really because I needed the answers necessarily, well, maybe a little bit, but it was more because like when I was around that energy, I felt calm. I could breathe again. It was very strange. I just didn't, it was like such a different feeling than what I've been feeling for such a long time. So in that first reading that I had, the medium suggested that I read two books. And the first one was The Four Agreements, and then the other one was You Can Heal Your Life. So I would listen to them. I'm not joking. On repeat, at least 50 times each, they became like a lifeline. It was like hypnotic almost, you know? And then so the message started seeping in slowly that I had the power to change my life and that we're all conditioned. We can choose differently. And I had the power to end my suffering. I didn't know how at that point, but I knew that I could. So I started doing things a little more intuitively, things that just felt good for me, like meditation, getting attuned as a Reiki practitioner. I immersed myself into like deeper spiritual work, like reading about past lives and the Akashic records, even learning how to access them. I was so intrigued by it all, doing past life regressions, the whole thing. So after years of asking, what does he want? I was finally asking, what do I want? And I didn't even know how to answer it at that point, but I just kept asking and it just kept unfolding. So I ended up moving out of state. I opened a yoga studio. I was building a new life. And then 5 years ago, I met him, my partner now. And I thought, oh, this is it. This is what healthy love feels like. This is it. But here's what happened. Like, I didn't do the work yet. Even though I thought that I was doing all this spiritual work and spirituality and all that, but I still brought my old patterns with me. Like I was totally people pleasing. I was making myself smaller again to avoid conflict. You know, we had ups and downs. In those downs, I recognized that familiar behavior of abandoning myself to keep someone else comfortable. In the meantime, I was doing the work. I took a yoga teacher training. I learned about conscious communication. I discovered Brené Brown's work and like personal responsibility, how to talk, how to speak consciously. but I was still learning in real time how to actually live it. And then he asked for, or he broke up with me. He always says, oh, I asked for a break, but he broke up with me. And I was like, literally, it was the second time he did this. And I was devastated. I was devastated. I was blindsided because I thought everything was great. But we always just kept talking. It was a little less frequent. I convinced myself at this point, like I had talked to him probably for about like 4 hours. I was driving up to see my kids and I was like on the way back, I'm thinking to myself, everything's going to be fine. We're going to be back together, but it didn't happen. And I was like, that's it. Like something just cracked open differently this time. And I was like, I'm done. I meant it. And so the first time my entire life as an adult, I chose myself. Like I didn't even date. I didn't look on the apps. I didn't do anything. And this is a first. I didn't wait for him to realize what he lost. I didn't hold my breath hoping he'd come back. And like for 2 months, I literally fell in love with myself again. Like I just remembered what it felt like to take up space without apologizing for it. I just did what I wanted to do. So when he called me like months later and he was like full of regret and he said he'd made a mistake and is there any way possible that we could try again? I was like, no, absolutely not. But I was, you know, I was finally healing. I finally chose myself. Why would I risk that? But something inside me was like, don't close this door. Just don't, because there's something else here. So we started dating again, like really, really slowly, because my trust was like shattered at that point. So I needed time. And I knew this was it. If it didn't work, that was it. Done. I'm not doing this again. So that October, we began again. And that January is when I started the year-long life coaching program that literally changed everything. I learned about all that stuff, emotional mastery, somatic work, unconscious patterns that run our lives. And I learned, most importantly, about myself, that I people-pleased. I didn't know that at that point. It wasn't something I needed to fix. That was even more important, that it was something that was a protective pattern that I learned. And if I accept it and understand it, not judge it, I can transform it. So I learned that I'd been living in survival mode for so many years without knowing it. That my nervous system had been so dysregulated that I was stuck in this fight or flight, even when my life looked so peaceful from the outside. What else did I learn? I learned about what conscious relationship is, what it means, emotional regulation, awareness of why I react the way I do. So I started questioning things, like recognizing the triggers and then the pause, because that's the most important part, right? And the ability to witness it and question it and not judge it, and then effectively communicate my needs. But knowing I could only have this in a partnership that's safe, like I could never have had it in my marriage. So it's been 10 years since my divorce. My partner and I just moved in together this past June. Everything's great. I mean, everything's not great. It's not, you know, like we're not like this like crazy happy all the time, but we communicate, you know, we laugh, we have fun. We built something I didn't know was possible at the time. You know, I know that now that I don't have to disappear or to make myself small just to be loved. And now that's what I do through my, you know, I help other women understand that in their own divorce recovery, not just the logistics of separating your life, but the deeper work, like finding yourself again, because that's what really magnetizes us to bring in the right people into our life. It's like learning that you don't need to be perfect or healed or ready to deserve love and safety, and that like the patterns that protected you once might be keeping you stuck now. And really, I don't know, discovering what it feels like to regulate your nervous system, to have that pause, right, before reacting. It's not like a reaction, it's just to choose yourself first. Because here's what I know now that I didn't know then, or even in the first years after divorce, is that you can't have a conscious relationship with someone else until you have it with yourself. I mean, there's just no way. Like we're whole, but we learn things and we just have to recognize that, and it's not to judge. The girl in those journals, she's still here. She never left. She was just waiting for me to remember her again, just to let her dream again. And so then it's really when I finally chose myself, that's when everything changed. So that's my story. That's it. It was a long one, but yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I've
been so living
incredible.
A long time. Yeah.
I love that story because I think we're so conditioned to look for something or someone outside of us to sort of save us and make us happy. And what you did in your journey is you allowed the conflict and the challenge to drive you deeper within yourself, which is what I think we should all do when we experience challenge in our life. And kind of what I hear you say in all that is when you try to change yourself and be somebody to please a partner, somebody that you love, and you curate this image, it's going to create conflict at some point, whether that's outer conflict in the relationship when it comes up as time goes on and you start to be yourself, or whether you continue to suppress it, which will create inner conflict and this tension and this fight within yourself where you're trying to expand, but you feel constricted, you feel like you can't. And so really it goes back to honoring self, like you said.
Yes.
Being authentic, not betraying yourself and your values, because that conflict will come up even if you have this sort of quote perfect life on the outside. That conflict will manifest, and I'm just so happy that in your case you used it for your own growth and your betterment. But you talked about these core wounds that you played out, these survival patterns. And so I want to get into that. Let's talk about why we attract and why we're attracted to certain people, because I think we've all seen it. You know, somebody gets into a relationship, it ends in not so good of a way. Both people fall into kind of blame and judgment of the other person. And then a month later, they're in a new relationship with the spitting image of
yes.
the person that they just broke up with. And so funnily enough, it's usually everybody could see it except for the person in the relationship. We have those blind spots.
Yes.
And so talk to us about why this happens and why we are so blind to these patterns that we're playing out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, these are these subconscious patterns, right? Like right below our conscious mind, I think it's like 95 to 97% of our actions are driven by our subconscious mind. So what we're drawn to is what's familiar, right? So like something that, you know, whether your childhood was healthy or not, if it's familiar, our nervous system recognizes it, right? So, and the interesting thing is like, the concept of chemistry, you know, like feeling that excitement, those butterflies, sometimes is trauma recognition. Like, it's like our room, our it's like this electric pull, you know, of our wounds, and it's recognizing that match, right? So it's like our core wounds, whether it's you know, wanting to feel safe, wanting to feel loved. They're seeking this mirror, right? So like if we felt abandoned, we attract somebody who's going to abandon us. And I really think it's because we're meant to learn certain things in our life, right? You know, I understand the biology of it, I guess, chemistry of it. But on a spiritual level, I believe that it's because we're meant to learn these lessons. But really the gift is in that pattern, right? So, but we have to recognize it, right?
Yeah.
So if we don't recognize, like how you said to me, you recognize, you know, you finally are healing and you recognize the pattern. If you don't recognize the pattern, which is where most of us are, because we're in that, you know, it's like subconscious, we're just going to keep attracting that same thing over and over again. But if we do recognize, that's where we have the ability to heal, you know? So yeah, I don't know. I mean, really, like I know from my own life that I attracted someone who I thought was going to give me safety because I needed safety, but he actually provided the opposite. So I could understand that the safety I had was within me. So that's, yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of it is kind of that thing. It's like the familiar known is safer than the unfamiliar unknown. And even if it's an unhealthy pattern, we'll still gravitate towards that because at least we know we'll survive and that we've been through it before. And I think this is kind of the origin of when people know it's like, oh, this person's not good for me, but I can't resist that sort of thing. It's like we keep repeating these patterns we know are going to end in a toxic way, but there's an emotional charge or a wound in us that keeps magnetizing us towards that thing. And would you say that when it comes to these people that we're drawn to, or these things like in your case where it's safety, do you believe we're trying to unconsciously get something that's sort of an unmet need that we feel we didn't get from childhood from our parents, or usually our parent of the opposite sex? Is that how you kind of see things, or do you see it
Yeah,
different?
I mean, it does play out that way. That we're searching for that. And I know that there's a lot of work around this and like attachment styles that I couldn't really speak to in too much detail. But yes, it's, we in attachment styles, I do know that it's, we learn these attachment styles from the time we're born to 2 years old. Not even to seven. So like 2 years old, we've already learned our attachment styles. So we, because we want to, yes, if we're not getting that safety, we play out, we repeatedly play that out with someone, with a partner, to try to get that safety.
Yeah. And like you said, it's the first awareness that's really the biggest step, and this is the biggest leap, I think, for people, is becoming aware and then having the courage to take responsibility for the patterns that we've played out our whole life and sort of the pain that we've brought upon ourselves. But I think that this awareness alone really has the power to completely shift our understanding of our relationships. So, we've become aware of these patterns. How do we then use this awareness of our wounds and our programming to start to consciously heal ourselves and open up?
So the awareness doesn't necessarily even have to come from like a mindset awareness, right? It can come if we start recognizing different sensations in our body and not judge them, like, out of nowhere feeling like a constriction, and then we start judging, oh, why am I feeling so anxious? And like really not just creating just this awareness, like, oh, I'm curious and I'm witnessing this and what's going on here and why all of a sudden, because triggers are interesting, right? Because something that triggers me probably won't trigger you or the next person or the next person. It's just based on some of the things that we've gone through, right? So if we start recognizing recognizing maybe like a somatic sensation in our body, and because our body is, they're so intelligent. And it tells us everything before our minds even know what's going on. So we have to just take a minute and recognize something's going on there, right? And like using those triggers to teach us, because that's the only way we're going to move through this, right? It's not to suppress it, it's not to judge it, it's just to basically recognize it and then integrate it into our system so it no longer triggers us anymore. But awareness, yeah, it's the first step. If we don't have any awareness, then we're going through life with blinds, call it blinders, or we're in the back seat. Something else is running our life and it's not us, right? So we have to start identifying, and I think somatically first, because that's what we feel automatically. It's like really quick. We're like, oh my gosh, I feel like, some kind of nervousness or contraction. I mean, you can also journal, like, something, maybe journaling our patterns. But really, it's that pause that I mentioned, like really, like feeling that sensation. Or even mindset, like, why am I doing this? But thinking about it, maybe again, journaling it, like just questioning it. just keep questioning it. Is this really true? Why am I feeling this, you know, the story that I'm telling myself, is this really the true story? Or is this something that I've learned, right? We just have to break out of those patterns that we've learned. Awareness is the first.
Totally. And I always say, you know, be willing to spend time around people who kind of trigger you and make you uncomfortable, whether that's intimate or family, friends, business. This isn't to say don't set boundaries if you need to, but if you just avoid the uncomfortable relationships and the triggers, you can't outrun them. Life's always going to present you with more people and more situations to bring that up so you can heal. And if we don't learn in one relationship, we'll just repeat that relationship again with a different version of the same person until we gain that awareness and start to take that pause, like you're saying. And so I think you and I would both agree that relationships really at their core are not about finding this perfect person who's going to make you happy and change you. It's about finding what you want in another person within yourself and using the relationship to really peel back all the false layers of the self so that we can discover the love that's always been within us and experience that regardless of the external circumstance. Do you have anything to say on that?
Yeah, because the toxicity of our society, like I always go back to You Complete Me from Jerry Maguire. It's like, come on, we are whole in who we are. I don't need somebody else to complete me. We are, you know, yes, like you said, we need these triggers, or we need these relationships in our lives to, I guess, generate these triggers, because that helps us heal and it helps us grow. And when that stops and when that's not there any longer, then you start questioning, like, what's this relationship really about? I mean, we don't want to always be in this like trigger state. We also want to be happy, but that's, you know, how I see relationships. It's all about helping our growth on this earth. Like, it is just about helping us see the things that we were conditioned and programmed as a young child, and working through these things. And even in a past life, I mean, I can go into all that too, but in my belief system, we'll get into some of that. We have these past lives, and we might be playing these things out again in this life, you know, with the same people in different relationships. So, yeah, I mean, we have learned so many things about relationships that are not true. And unlearning them is like the first step. Knowing that we are whole and we don't need somebody else to complete us, that we don't have to look for that Prince Charming because we are our own queen or king or whatever. That's the first step. Yeah. It's unraveling all that.
And weirdly, as you use relationships to grow and heal and you continue evolving upward, you just start to attract more and more people who are also on that sort of vibrational level. So it's kind of like a paradox, but it's true that if you work on yourself, it's going to transform every relationship in your life and open completely new doors and opportunities for connection. But I think that when you take this view of relationships, you start to see that relationships will be in our life for as long as they're meant to serve a greater purpose and further our evolution, whether that just be a conversation with a stranger at the airport or a lifelong romantic partnership. But I do want to address this modern notion, because this is a big part of your work, but this modern notion that if a marriage ends in divorce, it's a failure. I once believed this. I grew up in the church where this is a big no-no. It's actually strictly forbidden in most cases. But I've matured a bit and I no longer see it this way. But I would love to hear your thoughts on this, on the nature of relationships and how they do have beginnings and ends.
It's true. We were sold this idea that relationships have to last forever. And if they last forever, then we're successful. But what about like growth, peace, and alignment? Like, do we just disregard all that? Because sometimes the relationships that we're in are not providing that at all. They're actually doing the opposite, right? So we have to come to the realization that in our culture, we've been sold this idea, but it's not necessarily for the benefit of all of us, right? And that people come into our lives at different times of our lives for different purposes, and they might not, you know, they might not last forever, but they lasted for the amount of time that they're supposed to last, right? They're just a chapter. They're not the whole book. Like we're, you know, and they're just meant to teach you something specific. Right. And really, you know, if that other person, like you said, you know, once you start growing, you attract other people in your life. But also once you start growing, other people fall away. Right. So like if you're in a relationship with your husband, wife, whatever, and you're on this journey of healing and but they're not, this is going to be a difficult situation, really. Right. And staying with that person is the failure, because you're not honoring yourself anymore. And you're not modeling healthy boundaries, like for your kids. And I mean, you're not choosing your own growth, right? It's like, we're meant to think that we're selfish if we think about ourselves. But this is like, this is the only thing that we have is ourselves. Like, I don't know how else to say that, right? So if we're not, it's like putting on the oxygen mask first on yourself and then the loved ones after. Like, we have to take care of ourselves first. And if we are dishonoring ourselves, like kind of like I did in my, to make other people comfortable around us, like, I don't know how that helps us in our own growth. And I feel like we're in this life to grow and to heal, right? So if we are told we need to stay with this person that is not providing that growth and that peace and that alignment and is not supporting us in like shining brightly and is only dimming our light, I don't know how, even in the church or with God, like how that is a good thing, right? So, I mean, you can always, you know, ending a relationship consciously, knowing that, you know, it was not meant to be, just being grateful for what it brought you, where, how far you've come, as long as you're learning from it, I don't see how it's a negative, you know, and even like when you have children, like, how is this going to benefit them? They're learning behaviors from a toxic marriage, because you have to stay because of what society tells us. Whereas they can see two healthy, separated parents, right? Versus this toxic household. So yeah, it's that whole idea of having to stay together because it's what we were taught. It's just not great for us. It's just not great for us. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's powerful. And I couldn't agree with you more. And look, I understand why the church did this. In my estimation, it was kind of an attempt by the church authorities to preserve this eternal nature of relationships. But the way I see it now is that every relationship is eternal, regardless of how long it lasts in earth time. Every interaction with another person, no matter how long, it leaves an imprint on our soul that ripples throughout time. It's eternal, and nothing can ever take away from that. And I think that's a beautiful thing. So I'm with you that if you and your partner know that the relationship is no longer serving your expansion and your growth, then staying in a dead relationship is not serving you. It's not serving the other person, and it's most certainly not serving God. So I think we are meant to continually expand. And when we're not willing to let go of the old, we just end up stagnating because nothing new can flow into our lives. So I think that really a big problem with this notion of divorce is that it does cause people to stay in relationships long after their sort of expiration date has passed, out of fear of ridicule or being seen by family and friends as a failure or disobeying a religious institution. But On the flip side, we also see people who kind of jump ship at the first sign of trouble, leaving relationships as soon as it gets challenging or when their own triggers start to come to the surface. So what do you teach people around this? How do we know if we should stay and work it out or if it really is time to move on?
Interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. So going back to like our growth and our evolution, is this relationship supporting that or is it not? Like, am I going back to these patterns? Am I staying small? Am I not authentic? Can I not be who I am in this relationship with safety without, you know, arguments are fine, right? But it's when someone wants to win versus seeing the other person's side is where there's a problem. You know, I mean, it's like, yeah, there's red flags and then there's growth, right? If there's abuse, heated betrayal, you know, no, this is not good. But if you're, and I always say this to people, if you're a relationship who are debating divorce, does it have like a foundation, like a fundamental love there, you know? But if it's fundamentally misaligned from the start, there's probably no hope there, right? Or is it communication issues? Because things like that, or attachment styles, these are things you can work on, like within the, as long as both people within that relationship are willing to do that work and, you know, give it like 6 months, do the work, do it separately, do it together. Be conscious about what's happening in the relationship. And if you don't see, you know, something, anything shifting in that relationship, if it's staying stagnant, if it's staying the same, it's still toxic, then it might be time to really think about going in different directions and knowing that, you know, you tried and it's okay, but yeah, it might be the time.
Yeah. Really going back to that inner knowing, because I think we know whether we're in or out at a deep soul level, and kind of back to what you were saying about the somatics and tuning into your body. It's like, are you a yes or are you a no? And a lot of it comes back to that core feeling of safety, as you just touched upon. Like, do you feel a peace and a safety and a nourishment around this person that you can work it out, that you're going to continue to expand together? Or do you know that it's time to cut the cord, even though everything in your rational mind might be worried about what you're going to lose and what people are going to say? So I think, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like putting that all to the side, sitting with your knowing, with your intuition, maybe through meditation or however, or journaling, and sitting with it and really thinking through, if everything else went away, like if nobody was judging you, if nothing, you know, what would you really do? Because we know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, great advice. And so we've talked about why we attract and why we're attracted to certain people. But now I want to discuss the element of destiny and fate. We've all heard people use the term soulmate, soul agreements, twin flames, things of that nature. So do you believe there's an element of destiny involved, or is this all just a game of vibration and attracting what we are?
I mean, I think that I go back and forth with this because I do believe that we have soul contracts and that we come into this world with these soul contracts and bringing these people into our lives, but we also have free will, so they might not necessarily play out. I think there are a lot of options for us, and depending on what, you know, how far we've grown or whatever, we might choose one option over another. But I do believe, yes, that there are soul contracts. Now, I don't think that necessarily like a soulmate, I feel like that's a little toxic, because then that kind of like brings you to a place where I have to stay with this person forever. You know, they might just be in your life for a certain reason, like we were just talking about.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it's, I think that soulmates, twin flames, all that kind of stuff, I believe in that stuff. But every relationship is spiritual. They're here to teach us about love, about boundaries, true nature. I just worry about using that soulmate language you know, because
there's a lot of baggage and misunderstandings around those languages, I think. And so that might be where the mix up is, but I think you and I are kind of on the same page that there's something that's being orchestrated on a soul level that's greater than the mind can comprehend. So it's like, we may not see it coming. We may not understand why it's here, but when two souls are meant to come together, they will come together, and there's nothing that could stop that. And a lot of times these contracts or agreements, they entail that maybe it's not meant to last a lifetime in earth years, that it's meant for a season. It's meant for our growth to take us to that next level. And then we're meant to let go of that. So,
yeah.
And you talked about some of your work with past life regression earlier. I've also done quite a bit of work with past life regression, and it's completely shifted the way I see, just the way that I understand, I think, the purpose behind things in this life. To know that things aren't this random quirk of fate where some people are given more, some people are given less, that it's this bigger continuation of this grand journey, and we've been everything, we've experienced everything, and these people that we feel an affinity with, it's not random that we have a shared past. And I think that's just a very beautiful thing. And again, this is just how I see it, how you see it. This is not about a right, wrong, indoctrinating anything. We're just throwing around ideas, but I would love to hear how that's kind of shaped your understanding of your relationships and how you connect with other people.
Yeah, no, it's true. I do believe that there was some kind of soul contract. I believe that I've lived previous lives. I don't necessarily know what they are, but I do believe, yeah, I've done the past life regressions and all that, but I still don't know. One came up for me, but I don't know. I do believe that people come into our lives because we made this agreement. Whether that's for my children's purpose, because I think about, you know, my son and what he needed to go through in his life because of having the father that he has, you know, because you can go back and feel really guilty as a mother for bringing a certain person into your children's lives. But I go back to, well, you know, this was something that was meant to be, whether it was a contract for my son, whether it was a contract between me and my ex. I don't know the answer, but I do believe that there is something, there is a higher element to this, that, you know, there was a reason I met him in a random bar in college. Like I did, you know, I could have met somebody completely different. So I believe in that sense in fate, because I do believe something is bringing us together into these relationships. So we can work on things, whether it's for us or for that other person or for our children or whomever. Yes. I do believe.
Mm-hmm. And when we say contract, it's not, we don't mean like this. I think a lot of times we think of it in terms of a legally binding contract or something that we don't have a say in. And I'm a big believer that this doesn't take away from free will, because ultimately we chose these agreements. It is our creation. And so everything about this game is free will, free choice. Our soul gets to experience whatever we want to experience and grow in the ways that we feel like we need to grow on our next step in this journey of self-realization and the return to love. So I think
that's how I see it. I see that we sit down and we figure it out. We figure out what from our past life, what happened, we review it all, and then kind of come to this life with those things that we need to work through. And and that circle of souls that we have, we play out different situations in our lives to benefit all of us, really.
Yes, it's like, what do I want to experience next? Like, ooh, I really want to grow in my forgiveness. And one of those souls in that circle raises their hand and says, I love you so much that I volunteer to betray you in this life to give you an opportunity to learn how to forgive and love more deeply.
Exactly. paradox, right? How interesting. Yeah. So we're going to experience the one thing that we didn't experience, you know, so we can get to the place where we can actually feel the forgiveness. We'll experience the betrayal so we can forgive.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And this kind of takes us into this idea of the one. You'll hear people say, I'm calling in the one, and there's this one person, this perfect ideal, Prince Charming, you know, the princess. How do you view this idea of our cultural understanding of the one, and how do we find true love?
Yeah, again, I mean, I think it's finding the true love in yourself first, yeah. And then you can call in that person. Then you become magnetic to the right people coming into your life. If you're not in a place that is healed, you're going to attract the people that are not healed, right? So it's about, you know, yeah, there's some destiny in it, but just, you know, it's a process of healing and calling that person in.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is the one who's right in front of you in a way, because life is bringing you the exact people that you need to take that next step in your evolution, where whatever that might be. And if you're busy looking for the person who's going to give, like you said, the country club life and the big house and the cars and the perfect family, and you're saying, oh, this person doesn't meet that standard, it's not good enough, you're just going to keep getting that person in a slightly different package, so that you do end up learning that lesson, is kind of what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah. I guess, yeah. I mean, it's like the one, it's whoever you're with when you're whole. That's really the one. You know, it's like, it's not finding, like you said, it's not finding that perfect person, because there's no perfect person. You're not a perfect person, but it's the right one for you at the time, like recognizing all the greatness in you and not being, you know, and celebrating you. That's the person. That's the right person, I guess, you know? And it's learning to, value. So we value, especially in society, like this spark, right? The chemistry, and you feel the butterflies and all that, but that's not always what's best for us. Like, it's like basically the opposite of what all those movies tell us, right? It's like consistency should be exciting, right?
Right.
So, yeah. And I don't know. I mean, again, with the attachment work, like, again, I'm just learning a bit about this, you know, knowing what your attachment style is, understanding your patterns so you can choose differently, is important as well. So just looking for someone that you can build with. It's not someone who rescues you or creates constant drama in your life. It's someone who you're like interdependent, like you're going through life like this, but you're building each other up at the same time.
Yes. Yeah. And that kind of takes me to my next question is, I think when we do meet that person, you feel that spark, and it's almost like nature does this bait and switch where you get all high on these neurochemicals, and you, like, chemically you're feeling so good and in love, and then once that honeymoon period starts to die down, now you're hooked, and this is kind of when the real work kicks in. This is life saying, okay, now stuff's going to come up, the triggers are going to come up, and this is where you get to heal and walk side by side with this person in this cooperative sort of relationship. So how do we foster this deeper connection and set ourselves up for long-term success in our relationships?
It's about doing the work. It's about both of us being willing to do the work and do it side by side, and having a safe space where we can both express ourselves in a conscious way and taking personal responsibility for the things that come up for us, And having that safe space to communicate that effectively without blame, without shifting things. Again, taking personal responsibility. And because as soon as you start saying it's the other person's fault, they'll, you know, it's automatically, you know, it's going to blow up and get into a big fight. But if you say, you know, this is how, when you did this, this is what, how it made me feel, that kind of thing, like really conscious communication, conscious relationships, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, almost like, hey, when you said this, it triggered something in me. I acknowledge this isn't you, this is mine, and I need a little space. Can we talk about it later? That sort of thing.
Yeah. It's, yeah. Again, it's that pause, though, because if you don't even recognize that that's a trigger for you, you know, understanding, feeling it in your body, or even, you know, mentally, well, gosh, what, why am I thinking this? Like, why am I already jumping to this conclusion? Like, taking a minute and saying, like, yeah, why did I just jump to that conclusion? Why do I feel this in my stomach? Like, because it's our work that we have to do in each of us, right? And recognizing all these things, all these triggers that we have, they don't go away. There are teachers. Like, if we look at them like teachers, then after we accept them and we integrate them into our system, they don't affect us anymore. So that's the goal, is to use the relationship to show us these triggers and to heal them.
Yes.
And to integrate them. That's the purpose.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you mentioned another term that I think is really important, which is personal responsibility, which kind of brings up the question of the balance between personal responsibility and sort of this codependency and connection with the other person, because it is ultimately about rediscovering this love and this power within ourselves. But the way I see it is, when you are in a committed relationship and you become this close to another person, you know, your nervous system kind of sinks at a certain level, and it's almost like your happiness and your mood are somewhat intertwined in this dance of giving and receiving love. And so how do we find this balance between sovereignty and codependency in a relationship?
It's interesting. I mean, codependency does not help us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and I kind of mentioned it before, it's we have to grow. It's knowing that we're both whole in who we are. Like, I don't need this person to complete me again. Like, I don't need this person to heal me. I don't need this person to do anything for me. It's, I do for myself. I recognize I have all these, you know, wounds in myself, little traumas, you know, little traumas that I've experienced throughout my life, and that I, you know, you can help me work through these things. But as long as this person is also, you know, healed enough to recognize that this is not about them, right? Mm-hmm. And so once you become, like, if you become, have this codependency, it's like, I need this person because I am not whole to heal me, instead of I'm healing myself through our relationship.
Yeah. Because it's almost like, you know, if you become too independent and you become closed off, like, oh, I don't need your love. And it's like, I'm not going to give you my love to the capacity that I'm able. You know, that doesn't seem like a healthy way of expressing sovereignty in a relationship, because there does have to be that exchange. There is some expectation of giving and receiving, but kind of what I hear from you is that it's okay for me to receive your love, but not to the degree that I think it's going to fix me or make me whole. It's like, if I allow myself to receive your love because it's showing me and reminding me of the love that's within myself, and then I give that back.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Oh, God, that is put very beautifully. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes total
sense. We are all love. Like, that's all we are, right?
Yeah.
We are. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, amazing. And what a great note to kind of wrap up on. Do you have any closing words for people before we get into where people might be able to find you? Any parting message that you have for people to take away from today?
I guess we have to recognize that society has kind of programmed us to have this romantic view of relationships, fairy tales, like love songs, rom-coms, all this. We're like programmed to, you know, have this idealistic type of love, but really the love comes from within. The love is, we have to give it to ourselves first before we can really give it to someone else, right? We can't hate ourselves and then expect to love someone else. So healing ourselves first is the most important thing, so we can call in or magnetize the type of love that we're looking for in our lives.
Yeah, beautiful message. And I think you're absolutely right. It is about unlearning this programming and this propaganda of what love is and what it's meant to be. And to really just encourage people, try it out. Experience, you know, love and relationships for yourself. You are so unique, and there's nobody and no authority that can tell you what your relationships are meant to be. They're one of a kind. And so just let yourself be free, be authentic, express yourself the way you want to express yourself, and be true to yourself. So thank you for that.
Yeah, because the right person will appreciate that, in all honesty.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. And before we get into the final two questions that we ask everyone, will you just share where people might be able to find you and learn more about what you're doing and any offerings you currently have?
I am on Instagram, Recovery After Divorce, and I offer a 12-week one-to-one program called Magnetic AF, where we go through the past, you know, kind of get rid of all that we root down, clean it all up, and so then you can rise. So I work mainly with women going through divorce and really wanting to call in that new relationship, and so I help her do that. Yeah.
Outstanding. And finally, just to close, the two questions we ask everybody on this show. First, in the nature of this being the Supernatural Podcast, what's your definition of an extraordinary life?
An extraordinary life is one where you are completely authentically you. No apology, just you shining exactly who you are.
Great answer. And if you had one message for humanity at this very delicate time, what would that be?
That we are all love, we're all connected. To remember that and to treat each other with that kindness and compassion and love.
What a message. Carolyn, this has been outstanding. So many gems, so many pieces of wisdom in here, and I think if people could really take this to heart and start using their relationships to further their own growth and to recognize the love within themselves, that's going to ripple so far out into the world, and it's going to really transform everything about the way we do things here on Earth. So this is much needed. I've enjoyed this conversation so much. Thank you for being here and for joining me. It's been great connecting with you.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much. Thank you.